So we are holding on KBays on the days about the middle of the armor one with NASDAQ. Okay, we discussed yesterday the idea that the Torah tells us about blood of a chassa that is brought into the heichal l'chakra b'kodesh to perform kapara, then it becomes kosher. So we had several machlokes about the details of that. First of all, does it apply only to a chassa or to anything else? Rabbi Akiva said it applies to any other korban. Rabbi Yosef really said it applies only to chassa. Any kind of chassa, granted, but not any kind of chassa katsona, that is, obviously chassa hafnimis, you're supposed to bring inside. Rabbi Yitzchak really also said, actually, the process that we were learning this from, this process of Chol Chassos, he was saying is not even talking about a Chassos Kassarna. He says the whole concept, you learn from a whole different process. In the story of Aaron's son burning one of the Karbonis that were brought on the last day, on the eighth day of the Milut. Okay. So then we went through a few possible Kavachomers that we might think to say as far as the beginning in these regards, and we pointed out that for each one of them, we have a process that tells us not to do that Kavach HaOmer. So, turn it up on them. So now getting back to the main topic of about this business, about the blood being brought into the heichal and making the korban possible. The pasuk says, turn it up on them, shnima. The pasuk says that if you bring it inside, aim the elephant.
In other words, you still want to prove it?
No, we know that the din itself we know. Now we're going to talk about specifics about the din. First of all, we had the machlokas whether it applies only to a chassas or not. We dealt with that already. We had the machlokas whether we had also the related machlokas to that, whether if you have two basins of blood from one chassas and you bring one of them into the heichal, whether it topples the other one. Again, we had a machlokas where the Yitzchak really saying no and the Chachamim saying yes. Right. And we also had, which we're going to deal with further, we had a machloikas about what's the circumstances under which it becomes fossil. We had Rabbi Yezer saying that if you brought it into the heichal, it becomes fossil automatically. Rabbi Shimon says only if you actually did kapara in there, only if you actually sprinkled it in the heichal. And Rabbi Huda says if you brought it into Shoigig, then it's kosher. We have to figure out, which we're going to do later, whether Rabbi Huda means that once you brought it in b'shoigig, that if you brought it in b'shoigig, it's kosher even if you were machaper. Or does he mean if you brought it in b'shoigig, then like Rabbi Shimon says, you have to only, it's only possible if you're machaper, but if you bring it in b'mezid, it's possible right away. Yeah, but that's in Stokin. Here we're talking about in the mission. When Rabbi Huda says, if it's b'shoigig kosher, is he referring back to Rabbi Shimon or not? That will deal with two. Anyway, let's get to the Gemara and when the pasuk says that if you bring the blood that if you bring the blood pnima, or actually here we're talking about Rabbi Yosef Levi's pasuk, Kein lehuvas doma el hakodesh pnima. When the pasuk says the word pnima inside. Now, if you only had that process, you would think it means, pnima means only l'snai v'l'snim, only the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Maybe if you brought blood into the heichol, it would be kosher. How do we know it also applies to the heichol? Pnima means as far in as possible, meaning the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So therefore, heichol minayin, how do we know it also applies to the heichol? El HaKodesh pnima. Therefore, the pasuk says the word El HaKodesh means the Kodesh as well. Kodesh, no, Kodesh means the Kodesh, and Pnima means the Kodesh Kodesh. Yeah, and Pnima means the Kodesh Kodesh. So then the question is, Yom HaKodesh Va Yom HaPnima. In that case, why bother using the word Pnima in the pasuk at all? Just say Hein Lehova Dama El HaKodesh, and automatically if it went into the Kodesh Kodesh, and it had to pass through the Heichal, because how else are you going to get it in there? So once it went into the one, we'll get to soon, but wait. And then we're not going to talk about flying with drones, but wait. Right now, the Gemara is assuming that if it went into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, it means it had to go through the Heichal. So just use the word Kodesh and not use the word Pnim. Amar Rava, so Rava says, or on the side here, it says, must be Rava, Bozev, limit all this. You're right, but the reason why you need both words is because you need one to explain what the other one means. If it only said the word Kodesh, then you would think Kodesh itself means the Kodesh HaKadosh. So by saying the word Pnima, now you understand that Pnima means the Kodesh HaKadosh, and therefore you understand that Kodesh now has to mean the Kodesh meaning the Heichal. media, they have our push of the software. And Rabba says it's the same kind of thing, same way as we find in connection with when Kossuth mentions the word toshav and sakhar. In Parshas Emor, the Torah tells us that only Kohanim and their households are allowed to be tshuva, so the Kohanim's wife, his children, and his avodim tzaddikim. But the Pasuk says that a toshav and a sakhar of a Kohen are not allowed to eat from tshuva. And the Tanya, we learn in the Blaisa, the word toshav means zekhanu kinyan olam. The word toshav means an eved ivri who has been acquired forever, not literally forever, but meaning, in other words, until Yovel, where his ear has been pierced. He's called a toshav because he's resident there for the next 50 years or until Yovel comes, whatever. Socher is zekhanu kinyan shanim, and then when the next word in the Pasuk is socher, refers to one who's only bought for 6 years and is going to go out in the seventh year. So the question is, again, Yoma Toshav al Yoma Socher. Why does it have to mention both? Just mention that the Toshav can't eat Tumah. Don't mention the Socher at all. Van Yoma, and we would understand why. Kavach Omer. Konik Kinyan Olam, and if a Madach and Eved Ibri who's going to be there for 50 years is still not eating Tumah. Konik Kinyan Shranim Le Koshkin, how much more so if he's only there for 6 years? The reason why the Pasuk doesn't do that, why it says Toshav and Socher, is because Ilu came, because if it was like that, if it only used the word Toshav, then you would mistakenly think that the word Toshav means the one who's only been bought for 6 years. Because Toshav, he's resident there for the next 6 years. But you would mistakenly think that an Eved Ivri who's had his ear pierced, maybe at that point he is considered already part of the family, and he should be able to eat Tumah. Therefore, Bas Sachir, the limit of Toshav, therefore the word Sachir. Therefore, we need the word Sachir to teach us about the proper meaning of the word Toshav, Shazek Konekinin, or Lamazek Konekinin Shanim. Now, once you have the word Sachir, and the word Sachir obviously can't mean one, the word, if you're going to think that the word Toshav by itself means the 6 year one, then you will need the word Sachir. The fact that it says Sachir and Toshav, now it clarifies to you. Sachir therefore has to mean the 6 year one, and the Toshav means the 50 year one. That one, the word Toshav refers to the 50 year one, and the word Sachir refers to the 6 year one, and both of them are in Ochel. Neither one of them are allowed to eat Tumah, because they're already Tumah.
Can't you take this augmentation and present it to Rabbi Akiva? He's saying, you don't need to be specific to...
No, because this is a whole different kind of thing. There you had Sukkim before that are talking about Chassas, and he's saying, why is it a physical Chassas? It must be teaching us that it means other Korbanos as well. This has nothing to do with it. Before that, it means Sukkim. This is a whole different thing. In the Sukkim before this, it didn't mention anything about a volume at all. So therefore, we have to specify what kind of...
Like box. If you have one box, you're going to not know what volume to put in it. So we give you two boxes.
Okay. Hold that, right? Fine. Okay. It has nothing to do with that. I think
it's big boxes and small boxes.
Okay.
A big box is more likely to contain a small one.
Okay, whatever. That's,
oh, no, no.
Okay, that's okay. The point is that we have an example where even though if you didn't have Sukkim, you could learn, you would think to learn with a Gzeder Shava, but you need both words in the Pasuk in order that you don't mistakenly understand what the one word that there is.
Right.
The same way over here. Rabba says the same argument as far as Kodesh and Pnimah.
Rabba, he's like a light.
Okay. However, Amalei Abaya, but Abaya says it's not the same thing. I can understand why we need two words over there, Toshav and Sachir, because after all, we're talking about two different people. Because when it says that one of them shouldn't eat, you wouldn't necessarily derive the other one from it, because they're two different people.
One second.
No, that's the point. In other words, that is. And all you could argue is now you could argue that fine, the Pasuk could have saved itself a word. Instead of using the word Toshav and the word Sachir, the Pasuk could have explicitly used the word Mirsa, the one who's had his ear pierced, lawyer, shouldn't be, the Idah Hasib of Kavachimer, and you would say the other one you can learn by a Kavachimer. Fine, that's not a big deal because we often find Milka de Hasib of Kavachimer, Charach the Kos of Lakhra. We often find that you have something which you could have learned by a Kavachimer, and the Pasuk still takes the trouble to write it. Ella Hacha, but over here Abaya says it's not the same thing at all. In order to get it into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, necessarily you have to pass through the Kodesh. So it's not two gufim, it's one that... right now the Gemara is assuming that there, that right now the Gemara is assuming for purposes of the question that that's the only way to go. Once you have that apostle already passing through the hekel, the snivel of my body, how is it even getting into the Kodesh HaKadoshim and not being apostle yet? Let it only say the word Kodesh, and we'll understand that it means that, and we'll understand that it means that it means the Kodesh. So all it is, in other words, to let the prophet, so instead of using the word, instead of using the word Kodesh and the word Pnima, and then you're going to mistakenly think that one means the, that one, that, that the word Kodesh means the Kodesh and Kodesh, just say the word Heichel. Hein lehova zama el ha-heichel. And then that's it. Then you don't, and it includes both, and it includes both, and unlike with the Avodim Ivriim, where you can say that's fine, but you could have learned one from the other, because you can say, okay, but they are two different people. Each one has his own Azhara, not each one. Here, necessarily, to do one, you have to go through the other. So let us do it that way. Ella, Omar Abaya, so no, Abaya says, the reason why the Pasuk has to specify both of them is not because otherwise we would have misunderstood, because you're right, the Pasuk could have just said the word Heichol, and we would understand both. It wouldn't have used the word heichol to be exact. Actually, the word heichol is the word you only find later on in Tanakh, but whatever. It would have used a word that makes it unequivocal that means Kodesh. Okay, whatever. Ela Amar Abaya, L'nitzrucha Elo Derech Meshupash. Abaya says, yes, but the chiddush is that, why does it need to use the word pnima? Because you could have, you go in there in an unusual way. Meshupash, yeah. Meshupash, Rashi says over here means awkward, means a crooked way. So it means, in other words, for example, let's say we know they had holes in the ceiling of the Kodesh HaKadoshim because they had the occasional times and they had to send down workmen to fix things in there, and they would send them down in boxes. Yeah. So you have, for example, let's say a person were to bring the blood into the Kodesh HaKadoshim that day. Without going through the Kodesh. You wouldn't know if it weren't for the word Pnima that it is Toto, because you would think maybe only if it goes into the Kodesh. But I'm Meshupash. In Menachos, it actually explains that the word Meshupash is like the word Meshubash. The word Meshubash is a more usual word that means crooked or wrong or whatever. So here it means the same thing.
And
Meshupash means better. On the way, Rava Bahab. Amalei Rava v'hal habark today. So Rava says, "What are you talking about, though? How? Why would you even?" The pasuk says, "Asher v'cholchatas asher yuva midama," meaning that it's brought in hava, implying that you're bringing it in the normal way. So if you were to bring, in other words, Rava is saying that actually, based on the words of the pasuk, v'cholchatas asher yuva, just the opposite. You would have to argue that if you were to bring it in through the attic, coming down in one of those boxes, it actually wouldn't become possible.
It would not,
says Rava, because it's not Asher Yuva, because not bringing it in the normal way. Ela Amar Rava, so Rava says, no, that's exactly it. Komidi d'choshev alei, the snai v'lasnim. No, actually, what the pasuk is talking about is like this. You never mind going in through boxes, through the attic or whatever. We are talking about that you walk straight in. What the pasuk is telling us is a chiddush as follows. If beforehand you had in mind that you are going to bring this blood not just into the Kodesh, but into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and therefore you bring it through the Kodesh on your way to the Kodesh HaKadoshim, it actually does not become possible yet. If you thought about that you're going to bring it into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, Lefnai V'Lefnim means the inward part of the inward part, meaning the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Then, Then actually the pasuk is implying by the word pnima that it will not become possible walking it into the heichel. And therefore, if you were once you're in the heichel, you turn around and say, never mind, I'm going to take it back out, it would not become possible, says Rava. So therefore, that's why we need the two words, El HaKodesh and pnima. Because from El HaKodesh we learn that in the normal case where a person brings it into the Kodesh intending to bring it into the Kodesh, then it becomes possible. And the other one, Pnima, teaches us that if he brought it into the Kodesh with intention that to begin with, that he was going to bring it into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, but he didn't yet bring it in there, then once he brings it into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, Pnima, then it will become possible, but not until that point. If he brings that particular blood into the Kodesh and then turns around and walks out, then it won't become possible. So Rav is saying that's actually what the Pasuk is implying. That's actually what the Pasuk is implying by the word El HaKodesh and Pnima separately, that there are actually two different dinim over here.
You see that in the world?
Well, that's, yeah. Any blood that you thought about
to bring it in the Pnaiva Lefnim, even though you walked it into the Heichal the normal way, not through the attic or anything. It does not become possible when you walk it into the Heichal, only when you walk it into the Kodesh HaKadosh. So it all depends on his Machshava ahead of time.
If he
has a Machshava to bring it into the Heichal, it becomes possible since he brings it into the Heichal. If he has Machshava to bring it into the Kodesh HaKadosh, it becomes possible only if he brings it into the Kodesh HaKadosh.
No
drone
required.
Yeah. So that's it. The Rambam doesn't bring that particular halacha, and of course, we discuss the various Achronim talk about what does that mean. Is the Rambam not bringing it because it's contradicted by something that by things that we learned before that we're going to learn soon. We're going to talk about now of various cases where you bring blood into the Heichal and then bring it back out, and whether it does or doesn't become possible, or is it just the opposite? The Rambam doesn't mention it because it's fairly obvious because we can deduce it from the basic issues. Well, especially also because we have the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah, who says that only if you brought it in l'chaker, or rather we have the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, that only if you were l'chaker with it, well then if you meant to bring it into the Kodesh HaKadosh, and you didn't yet bring it into the Kodesh HaKadosh, then you wouldn't get l'chaker with it. Okay. Boy Rava. Rava asks as follows. How about, how hell of Dava shall sit, where it's Ira Beris Chachavim, Shehichnis Domen L'Fnai V'Lefnim Nahu. What happens? So now we were talking about Chatzaris HaChisonim, where ordinarily the blood is not going into any part of the Heichal, and here we're talking about you brought it into the Heichal or you brought it into the Kodesh HaKadosh. What about, we know you have three of the Chatzaris HaPnimius, the power of the Sibur, the third of the Sibur, and also the power of the Kohen Mashiach, although we're not mentioning it over here. Let's say, Shehichnis Zom and Lefnai V'Lefnim. What if you brought the blood of those into the Kodesh HaKadosh? Mahu, what would be the din? Would the blood become possible by being brought into the Kodesh HaKadosh? Normally, you only do them in the Heichal, right? Do we say Mi Amrin and El Hakodesh Pnima? Do we say that since the Pasuk puts them together, El Hakodesh meaning the Heichal and Pnima meaning the Kodesh HaKadoshim, therefore it would mean that only Kol Heichad the Korban and El Hakodesh Korban le Pnima, only when you have a Korban that is possible when you bring it into the Kodesh, only then will it also become possible if you bring it in Pnima, but but if you have these korbanos are supposed to be brought into the Kodesh, therefore maybe they don't become possible by being brought pnima into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Or maybe not. The fact of the matter is they were brought into a place where they're not supposed to be because they're only supposed to be in the Heichal and you brought them in further into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. No, we didn't. No, we didn't. No.
He says that
Chatzaris HaPnimius, we're talking about, Chatzaris HaPnimius, where you brought in the blood into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, that's the question. Will it make them possible or not? Now, that's...
Where you brought regular chutz
is something else. No. One second. You're asking about if he had a machshava to bring it in. Machshava to bring it into the Heichal wasn't possible. We're talking about actually bringing it in. And here we're talking, in this case, we're talking about one of the Chatzaris HaPnimius, which is supposed to go into the Kodesh. That Machshava would not pass all the Korban. That's not one of the Machshavas of Chutz Luzmanu and Chutz Luzmanu that passed all the Korban. He said yesterday, it was not Machim B'Shulash.
What was the seven sprinklings on the Ariyah?
On the Parashas, yeah.
The Parashas, right.
Yeah. What about it?
What Korban?
That's for the power and the sorer of that's for the power Helam Dover, the sorer of Adazara, and the power of Kohen Mashiach. All three of those are sprinkled seven times in front of the parochas, and then you don't go into the Kodesh HaKadosh, you stand outside in the Kodesh and sprinkle towards the parochas. Right.
And so the whole thing was greasy as a dog, with the dog bounced off the floor.
Right. No, because on Yom Kippur, you bring it into the Kodesh HaKadosh. On Yom Kippur, you bring the power and the sorrow into the Kodesh HaKadosh. Yeah, that's why we're only asking about the other three.
Oh, okay.
Now.
And you bring the summon too.
Yeah, you bring Kodesh HaKadosh. Okay. Yeah, altogether, the Kohen Gadol goes into the Kodesh HaKadosh four times on Yom Kippur. Once with the Ketoreh, once with the blood of the power to sprinkle it, once with the blood of the sorrow to sprinkle it, and once later in the day to take out Kach and Matzah, to take out the spoon and the pan. Okay. Anyway, so the point of the question is, again, if you were to bring the blood of the other Korim Mutsirim and Nisrafim, which normally does not go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, but you brought it into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, does it become possible? Now that's how Rashi over here and the Raivad and the Rambam understand the question. The Rambam himself has a whole different understanding of the question in the Gemara over here, and he packs in accordingly. He says the question is rather as follows. And apparently had a different view. No, never mind, actually. One second. Sorry. This first question, never mind. The Rambam is the same as everybody else. What are you talking about? Mamashava is not possible. But we just
forget about
Yasuda.
I can't even follow.
If you have a machshava during the shechita of a korban that you're going to sprinkle the blood in the hay, it doesn't become possible. But if you were to bring it, only if you actually bring it into the hay, and then you have the machshava, it's an on mishnah, the shoy could be made if you were machshava or you weren't machshava. Okay. So anyway, fine. So Robert. Okay, so Robert. So never mind that I'm not that in connection with the next question. So no, this case we have is straightforward. Again, the power or the power, the purim and the shirachim, the seirim and the shirachim, where normally the blood is sprinkled only in the hekel. If you bring it into the Kurdish HaKadoshim, does it become possible? Is it that it only chatoris chetonis become possible in that case, because by then you have both El HaKurdish and Pnima, that can make it possible,
right.
But here not, because bringing it in the Kurdish would still be kosher, or maybe the fact is it's not in the place where it should be. If you're going to say that, yes, the fact is it is Shaloi B'Makayman, and therefore it's possible, then we have to ask another question. Let's turn now to the Kavanah of Yom Kippur, which are brought into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So obviously, bringing the blood into the Kodesh HaKadoshim doesn't make them possible, because that's the way you're supposed to do it. But if you, on Yom Kippur, if the Kohen Gadol sprinkled from the blood of the Pyre and the Sar, between the poles of the Aron, and then he brought him out into the Hekel to do the Hazois on the Parashas, and then at that point he brought them back in, Mahu, what would be the din? Do we say that at this point it becomes possible to continue the sprinkling on the Hekel? Do we say on the one hand maybe it doesn't become possible because this blood was supposed to be in the Kurdish HaKadoshim? Okay, you already finished with the sprinklings in the Kurdish HaKadoshim. So now that's already over and done with. But the fact of the matter is that you can't say that's not the mokum for the dam because it was the mokum for the dam. So maybe therefore it doesn't become possible. Or maybe not. It already went out. Therefore, that's it. It went out, and now at that point, the Kodesh HaKadoshim is outside the area it's supposed to be anymore. And now if you bring it back in there, it would become possible.
Normally
it's sprinkled in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and then you take it out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim and sprinkle on the head. But over here, what we're asking is like, you did in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, then you brought it out into the head. Then you brought it back into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Does it become possible at that point from being brought into the Kodesh HaKadoshim? That second time. Now, that's how Rashi understands the question, and that's also how the Raivad and the Rambam and Solam of Goshen also understand the question this way. The Rambam himself understands the question of the Gemara differently with this and the next couple of questions. He understands that the question is, just the fact that you brought it out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, does that already make it possible? In other words, according to the Rambam, we'd be talking about, even let's say you didn't finish the Hazoid in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, then you took it out into the Hazel. And now you bring it back into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So that's the Rambam understands the correct. That's how Rashi and the Raivad understand. I mean that you already finished in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And that the Rambam says you're talking about you didn't even finish yet. You're in the middle of the Hazoid in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and then you take it out. Does it become possible back then?
Would make it possible,
according to the Rambam. Possibly, that's what Gemara is asking. Right. And therefore, so
it's not the same case.
It's not the same case. The Rambam apparently had a different view of saying the Gemara, but in fact, the Mephoshim, the Nosa Kalim, and the Rambam have a bit of a hard time understanding how the Rambam understands our Gemara in that way. It could be he had a different view, or it could be, since the Gemara uses the expression, Hayov Nafak, once it came out, and maybe that's where the Rambam is getting from, is the primary issue is that it was brought out, not so much the question of whether when you bring it back in, what happens.
It depends how it was
brought out.
It was completely brought out.
What do you mean, incomplete? You either brought it out. No. Brought out means brought out. If you're going to say that, yes, once it's brought out, then it's brought out, so according to Rashi and the Raivad, it would mean you cannot bring it back in, and you cannot, if you brought it back in at that point, it would become possible. According to the Rambam, just the fact that it's brought out already makes it possible. Then you have to ask another possibility. He's going to be dumb on all the parenthesis. What happens? Now you finish the sprinklings in front of the parenthesis. Again, you have eight sprinkling half a mile of a shevel lamata from the pyre, and the same with the stutter. Now go ahead, seal them is there. No, we learned earlier in the Mesafta that it means which direction his hand is facing, upward or downward, which direction he's doing the blood, upward or downward, whatever. Yeah. Okay. But Sielam is Beach. Then what happens is, now the next thing he's supposed to do, he's supposed to go out, further out in the Kodesh, out to the area where the Mizeach HaZal is, and sprinkle on there. So let's say he brought it out to the Mizeach, the Hichnisan, and then he brought it back in to the area near the Parnassus. Mahu, then what would be the thing? On the one hand, you could argue it's all within the Heichel, it's all within the same zone, so it can't possibly become possible. On the other hand, Ojum Yasiyakur in a vein. Or maybe the fact of the matter is, the Pasuk uses the expression, V'yotza el mizbeach asher l'fnei Hashem. He should go out to the mizbeach, and in fact, the Gemara explains in Yuma that what it means is he has to make sure he's not standing between the mizbeach hazahav and the parochas. He has to be standing on the other side of the mizbeach hazahav. Here's the heichel. Here's the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Here's the Aron in it. You have the Shulchan over here, you have the Menorah over here, and you have the Mizbeach HaZahav over here. What it is after he does Bein Abadim in here, and after he does Al HaParochet, which is standing over here, after that he's supposed to go out to beyond the Mizbeach HaZahav, meaning he's supposed to stand here or here, and start sprinkling on the Mizbeach HaZahav. And because the Pasuk uses the expression, the Yotzeh, he has to go out, meaning he has to go out of the area where he was before, which is in front of the, between the Parochas and the Mizbeach HaZahav. You have to go out of that and go to here. Because it says, V'yotza el Mizbeach Asher L'fnei Hashem, and that means the Mizbeach HaZahav. So he's still in the Heichel, but he's in a different area. He's in a different part. And the Pasuk actually makes
the Pasuk. East of the
exactly, instead of before he was west of it. And the Pasuk uses the expression on V'yotza that he has to go out. So maybe for that purpose, it's considered a separate zone.
Are you going to tell us all this?
No, because I don't know.
Sprinkling stuff in the
down. Okay, no, because I don't know. Anyway. Okay, so the Gemara says, Tekel, we don't know, and therefore, again, we have to be Machmer. We have to be Machmer, because it's a case. They're right. So again, the Rambam understands all the cases, well, not all, everything except for the, well, first of all, the Rambam uses the usual rule that when the Gemara says, Imkim Tolomo, then it means Alocha is like that possible. So therefore, going through it, it would mean that Rambam fasts him to follow. When it comes to the Purim and when it comes to the Par Helam Dover and the rest of them that are never brought into the Kodesh HaKadoshim in the first place, if you bring them into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, they become possible. Then you have now talking about the ones of Yom Kippur. If you started the Hazoyt, Bein Abadim, and you took them out into the Heichel, then it becomes possible, just for the fact that you brought it out into the Heichel.
Without finishing
the ones in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. There's eight in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And then, in the last case over here, if he finished the ones on the Parochas and went out to the Mizbeach HaZahav, or rather, according to the Rambam, no, if he didn't finish the ones on the Parochas and walked out to the Mizbeach HaZahav, then that will also, because of the Sopik, because of the Fekul, that will also make it possible. Because we have to be Machmir. So in the previous case, the Rambam says, we know for sure what the din is, because of the Imkim Salaim. As in this case, we have to be Machmir because of the Sopik. Then we had in the Mishnah, the next thing we had in the Mishnah was we had the Machloikas of Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Shimon regarding Rabbi Eliezer. It could be a Rabbi Eliezer. Usually you have Rabbi Eliezer as the one who argues with Shimon. Okay, whatever, anyway. Rabbi Eliezer saying that, he had Rabbi Eliezer saying that if you brought the blood into the Heichel, then even if you didn't actually do any kapara with it, even if you didn't do any sprinkling with it, it becomes fossil. And then we had Rabbi Shimon saying only if you're Machaper, and Rabbi Eliezer saying if you brought it in, B'shogeg, then it's kosher. Let's talk about that. Tanya, we're learning a blighter. Rabbi Eliezer, how does he know that only if you actually sprinkled it has become possible? He says, I'm making zera shava. Nemakam l'chaper b'kodesh. You have over here, by the case of the blood becoming possible when it's brought into the heichel. The Pasuk uses the expression that if it's brought into the heichel, l'chaper b'kodesh, to accomplish kapara in the holy place. And you have by the avodah of Yom Kippur, it says there that when the Kohen Gadol is in the Kodesh HaKadoshim and in the Kodesh, nobody else is allowed to be in the Oyel Moed, nobody else is allowed to be in the Heichel, in the entire Heichel building. Therefore, we make a gzeira shava. Mala alam b'shalo kiker. Now, in that case, we're talking about even before he did the kapara. As soon as the kohen gadol walks into the heichal, everybody else needs to be out of it. Even before he actually got into the kodesh hakodashim and started doing the kapara. Afkan b'shalo kiker. Therefore, the same thing says Rabbi Eliezer, that when does it become possible? When does it become possible? Even if he didn't yet do kapara, that is why Rabbi Lazar says as soon as you bring it into the heichal, it becomes possible by zera shava from that. The same way as soon as the kohen gadol walks in, the same way as soon as you walk in with it. That's Rabbi Lazar. Rabbi Shimon Omer. Rabbi Shimon says, okay, but I have a different zera shava. Nema kan lachaper v'nema lahalim. But you have also by the avodah of Yom Kippur, you have another time where it says lachaper. A few stuck in by there. It says, it says that the parim sar of which the blood was brought in to be machaper, you take the bodies of these korbanos and you burn them outside the machnes. Now that's talking about after the kapara was already done, because you only take what the seder of things is, you sprinkle the blood of the power and the blood of the sar, then you burn the emurim on the mizbeach. Only then do you take out the power and the rest of the power and the sar and burn them outside the machnes. Only after the kapara has been done. Atkan b'shekiper. So the same thing, the din as far as the blood of a chata becoming possible, can also only be after your kapara. The kapara is simius, and never used. Right. Well, normally you would eat it. Indeed, but if you brought the blood into the hayfold, then it becomes possible, and then you can't eat it.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Fine. So that's the bottom line. In other words, you have Rebbe Yezer and you have Rebbe Shimon arguing where we're learning the Gzeira Shava from. Are we learning the Gzeira Shava from the Kohen Gadol coming into the Kodesh and everybody else having to leave? Or are we learning for Gzeira Shava from the Pyre and the Sur themselves getting burned, which takes place only after the Kapara? So the Gemara asks my committee, what is the underlying machlokes? Where is each of them getting, given that the fact is you have the word machaper in all three places, then yeah, why is Rabbi Eliezer preferring one Zeta Shava and Rabbi Shimon preferring the other one? The answer is, Mar Sava don in chut mechut, ve'in don in chut mebifnit. Rabbi Eliezer says like this, if you're going to learn a Zeta Shava and you have a choice which one to learn from, it's more logical that you should be learning something that goes out, something that remains outside from something else that remains outside. Rather than learning something that should remain outside from something that should be brought in. In other words, Rabbi Eliezer argues like, look, you have the case of a chatzos chitzoino where the blood was brought into the hay. Now that was brought in, it wasn't supposed to be. It was supposed to say outside in the azara. What are we saying about the people that, where are they supposed to be when the Kohen Gadol goes into the Kodesh to start the Avodah Sinim of Yom Kippur? They're also supposed to stay outside in the Azara, as opposed to the Pyre and the Sur, the blood of them is supposed to be brought into the Heichal and into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So therefore, Rabbi Eliezer says, why would you think to learn from that? More logical, you should be learning from the fact that everybody else is supposed to be staying outside the Azara, just like the Pasuk, whose blood was supposed to stay outside in the Azara. So therefore, based on that Zeta Shava, we should learn that as soon as you bring it into the Heichal, it right away becomes possible. What is Reb Shimon answers? Mar Sava, don behema, but behema, vein don, behema, me other. Yes, Reb Shimon says, on the other hand, though, you can argue, if you're going to learn a Zeta Shava, you should learn one din involving an animal from another din involving an animal, learn the Chatas Tetzoyna from the Chatas Tetzoyna, rather than learning an animal from a person, rather than learning the din as far as the blood of the animal, the korban, learning from the fact that the people have to stay outside the hayfold when the korban goggles in there. They're two different things, the korban and the person. So therefore, Rav Shimon feels that it's more logical to learn the Gzeira Shava from one behemoth to the other, from one korban to another, and therefore to say that just like the behemoths are only taken out and burned after the sprinkling is done, so also the chatas chitzoina becomes possible only if the blood was brought in and actually sprinkled in the head. Okay. Then we said in the Mishnah of Yehuda, says that if it was brought in b'shogeg, then it's kosher. So the Gemara says, how mazed possible. Okay, so the implication therefore is that if you brought it in, the mazed becomes possible. Now we have to ask, the shekiper or the shalai keeper. Does that mean, is Rabbi Yehuda talking about that in order for it to be possible, you need both things, you need it to be mazed and you need to have done kapara? which means, in other words, that he agrees with Reb Shimon, but he's just adding this other detail about it having to be remanded. Or is he basically agreeing with Reb Eliezer and saying once it's brought in, it becomes possible, but only if it was remanded? Rabbi Yemi says, I'll prove it as follows. We learn a braisa as follows. So it's a longish braisa, and then at the end of it, we're going to see, we'll see how we can figure out from it what Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is. The braisa says like this. Mimashma shenema ve'eis parachatas ve'estirachatas ha-shehuva domam v'chata v'kodesh, elo emerges in the post. Given that the Pasuk mentions that the parachatas and seirachatas, which were the blood that's brought in to be mechaper in the Kurdish, that you're supposed to take them out and burn them, so the Braisa says, why does the Pasuk have to then continue that the ones who burn them become Tamid? There's more interjecting meaning. You need that to teach us the actual din, that they have to be burnt and that the people who burn them become Tamid. You wouldn't know that if it weren't for that din. Right. We have to correct the wording of the braisa. The question is, why does the pasuk mention the word chatas there twice in the pasuk? The expression is, why repeat the word chatas? We know already that they're both chatas. Let it just say,
right.
The reason is like this. Because based on these system, we only know that the power and the sorrow of the Yom Kippur, that they are burnt in the Beis HaDeshen, they're burnt in the place where the ashes of the Mizbeach are deposited outside Yerushalayim, and that Mekamin Begodim, and more to the point, we learn from there, only there do we have that it says that the people who burn them are Mekamin Begodim. Now, Rashi points out, meaning that they themselves and their clothes become Tameh. In other words, the Kurban effectively is an Avatoma, and therefore it's Mekamin their clothes as well. That's called Tuma B'Chiburim. It's called when a person becomes Tomei, anything they're touching at that time also becomes, during the moment when they become Tomei, also becomes Tomei. So in this case, that means they're closed. Yeah. Anyway, the point is, Rashi says, okay, the fact that it says, the Braisa is saying how we know they're burnt in the Beis HaDesh, and that really the Braisa is just mentioning as an incidental thing. The fact is, by the other part, we know that. It says so explicitly in the Pasuk. I'll share HaKadosh and you saw it. The point the Braisa is getting at, though, is that by the other parim, by the power of Helam Gadol Shel Tzibur and the power of the Kohen Gadol, and so the power of Kohen Mashiach and so forth, the Torah never says by them that the people who are burning them become Tamei. That's how the Torah says there is a custom that the people who are involved in burning it become Tamei. Strictly speaking, they actually become Tamei even before they burn it. As soon as they leave the Azara, they become Tamei actually. But that's how it is. It's very precautious. Okay. So the Braisa is saying like this. Given that only by the two Korbanos of Yom Kippur does the Torah spell out that the people who burn them become Tomei. The Hasorah is first in the Sabbath of God. It doesn't say that by any of the other Hasorahs of me. So the question is, Shaunis Jokh Minayin, where do we know the same gene applies to the other three Hasorahs of me? That is why, Talmud Lama, Chatas, Chatas, Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yehuda says, that's why it repeats the word Chatas. The Eskara Chatas, the Eskira Chatas. Teaching you that this din applies not only to the two Chatas of Yom Kippur, but also to the three other Chatas. The power of Kohen Mashiach, where he made a mistake in Halacha. The power of Helam Darashot Sibur, where the Sanhedrin made a mistake in Halacha. And the third of Avodah Zarah, where specifically the mistake they made was that they were master some type of Avodah Zarah.
Because of the repeat of the word, Rav Meir says,
"Never mind. You don't need that. I can learn this din in a different way." Now, yeah, the pasuk starts by mentioning the power and the sir, and it continues by saying that their blood was brought lachaper b'kodesh. So Shane Tamalman lachaper, he says the word lachaper is extra because the fact of the matter is we know from earlier in the Sukkim, in Parashat Sakhir, it says that the power and the sir, the blood was brought into the heichal and into the Kodesh HaKadosh and into the lachaper. Why does it have to repeat that fact again? Ma Tamalman lachaper, the mayor says, He doesn't say that. He just says that never mind the fact that it repeats process. We're not learning. We don't need that to teach us this thing.
We don't need that, but what is it then?
He doesn't mention it. He doesn't mention over here what it's being repeated for. Maybe he learns some other Dilashas. And that's not the point. The point is, your mayor is saying, I don't need the extra word chasas because I can learn it from the very word what chasas. Limid our kolam is gathering shasar from the time of the garden. We learn from that that any kurban where the blood is brought into the hayhol to perform kapara, that afterwards, when the body of the korban is taken out and burnt, the people who burn it are matam of begadim. Just from the word machaper, I don't need the extra word chaper. No, it means that when we say matam of begadim, it means they themselves become tamei and their clothes become tamei. That's what it means.
It's the kapara is in the context. Of
the word that the pasuk says. V'ha'aveis karachatas ve'asirachatas asher huva zaman l'chata b'chodesh yotzi amichut l'machna. They should take them outside of the machna. The soka ba'esh, and they should burn them. And the next part continues. V'asirah fo'esim l'chata b'chodesh, and the people who burn them have to wash those, have to dip their clothes in a mikvah, meaning that they themselves and their clothes are tomei shumas erev, and they have to dip they themselves and their clothes are tomei and have to be dipped in a mikvah. In general, we don't have the dinim of tumah v'tahara nowadays. We have only a very limited subset of it, mostly as far as tochus nidah. So yes, if a person becomes, all of us are tumah mess nowadays, but even if a person becomes tumah nowadays, there's no, clothes are capable of becoming tumah. Practically speaking, we're not keeping the halakhah of tumah v'tahara because we don't have tahara adruma ashes, and we don't have, so all of us our clothes in general are presumed tumah.
What is the story for Sukkot? If now we don't have
a... Chukasolam, as long as there's a Beit HaMikdash. Because eventually the Beit HaMikdash will be built, and when it is, it will last forever. So that's what it means. Chukasolam means as long as you have the ability to do it, as long as you have a place to do it. Okay. Obviously. As long as they have a Chukasolam. So whatever it is, that depends on the Beit HaMikdash, can only be done when there's a Beit HaMikdash. Whatever not, is not. Even the current case, that depends on the Beit HaMikdash. Not the dozen. Okay. Anyway, the point is, that's the answer. The answer is that Chukas Olam means that it is going to be done forever. It's not, for example, something only for the midbar or something, but it can be interrupted in the middle. Okay, so thus far the bride. Okay. What? In few... No. Once the Beit HaMikdash was built, you're never allowed to bring bummus. You're never allowed to build bummus anywhere again. We'll talk about that. Wait. In the last two talks, we're going to be talking about those dishes. Wait. That may be, but maybe they know, maybe they don't. But in theory, it is true in theory, makriven korbanos alfa pishen bayis. In principle, you could bring korbanos even when the Beit HaMikdash is destroyed. However, you would need, among other things, you'd need to know the exact makom hamizbeach, which we don't know nowadays, because everything is there and has been removed. We would need koyanim who we know for sure are koyanim yuchasim. We would need big dekohana. We would need, and there's a whole bunch of factors that are involved. And you do have, though. There have been various rabbanim over the years, as far back as you have one of the Balei HaTosfos, Rabbeinu Yechiel of Paris, wanted to do that. He wanted to bring korban Pesach nowadays, and he lived in the 1200s. And during the last 100 years, you had various rabbanim brought up, various populations. During the years after the Six-Day War, the Rebbe used to tell people to stay out of the old city during an Erev Pesach for that reason. We talked about that before. Yeah. All right, let's go on with the Gemara over here. Okay, the bottom line is, we see from this Braisa that Rabbi Yehuda is not learning from the word Machaper, like Rabbi Meir is. Instead, he needs to use the extra word Chassas. Now, why is that? Rabbi Yehuda Lachaper Le'mashmalei. Now, why can't Rabbi Yehuda agree with Rabbi Meir and say that you can learn just from the word Machaper? The reason is, my time, and now why should that be? Lav mishum nu embari le l'gzeir shava. Evidently, the reason must be because Rabbi Yehuda needs that word l'chaker for the gzeir shava. Now, that is the same l'chaker that Rabbi Shimon used for his gzeir shava to say that it means that blood becomes, of l'chaker, tisayna, becomes fossil when it's brought into the hayfo only if it was actually sprinkled in. That was we had before, Rabbi Yezer versus Rabbi Shimon. He said Rabbi Shimon holds only if it's brought in there and actually sprinkled, and he learns from the Gzeira Shava from the word Lachater in the pasuk that we were just quoting. Evidently, no, Rabbi Yezer learns from a different Lachater. But the point is, if Rabbi Yehuda does not have this word l'chaper by the Pyre and the Sur available to teach us the din about the other Nisrafim on the time of the Godin, like Rabbi Meir says, that can only be because he's already using that word for the same Zeta Shabbat as Rabbi Shimon is, which means that he agrees with Rabbi Shimon. So it would come out, therefore, that Rabbi Yehuda agrees with Rabbi Shimon that only if the blood was brought in and actually was used for kapara, only then does it become possible. But Rabbi Yehuda adds another detail. It's not enough that it was brought in and actually used for kapara. It would also have to be that it was brought in the mace. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, you would need both factors. You would need it to be at least so that the surface meaning of our Gemara is that Rabbi Yehuda would be saying that you need both. You need it to have been brought in the mazid and that it was actually used for kapara. So Rabbi Yehuda is using the same Zera Shava as Rabbi Shimon. Now, the mazid means that he meant to bring it in, as opposed to the shogeg, that he didn't realize that it was a kapara sotana, or he didn't realize he was not supposed to bring it in, or whatever. Now, the interesting thing is the Rambam understands that the Rambam paskins like Rabbi Yehuda about the differences in shogeg and mazid, but in a different way. The Rambam paskins that if it was brought in the mazid, it immediately becomes possible. If it was brought in the shogeg, then it becomes possible only if it was sprinkled, which is different than what we just said in our Gemara over here. So in a way, it sounds like a combination of both opinions. So how, where on earth is the Rambam getting that from? So the Noisa Kalim on the Rambam have a hard time with it. You start with the Ma'ariv Korkus, one of the earlier Meforshim on the Rambam, talks about. He says this isn't the only Gemara that bears on this. We had much earlier than the Sefta on Daf Lamed Vav, we had a Mishnah over there and some Braisis that the Gemara discussed and came to the conclusion that you actually have two different opinions within what Rabbi Yehuda said. Whether bringing it in the mazid, whether there's a difference of the shogeg versus the mazid or not. So the Rambam therefore took that. So therefore, Ma'ariv Korkus says the Rambam took that into account and said therefore we're trying to accept the implication that the Gemara took from that Mishnah over there, as well as the implication of our Mishnah, and therefore by putting that together, you get that therefore that's the Rambam conclusion. It's sort of combining the two different Gemaras to arrive at Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Oh, the Kesef Mishnah has a hard time with that. Various other Rishonim and Achronim also have a hard time with that. There's a lot of discussion back and forth on it. One idea that's brought from Rav Chaim Brisker, as he says, the vote is that if you brought it in the Shogeg, then you can argue, okay, nothing's been accomplished yet because it was the shogeg. Whereas if you actually ended up sprinkling it, the fact is kapara was accomplished even though you brought it in the shogeg. Therefore, there's reason to tackle it. But if you brought it in the mazid, the argument would be just the fact of bringing it in the mazid already, even without actually sprinkling it, even without actually accomplishing any kapara with it, is already considered significant enough in itself to tackle it. That's how Rav Chaim Brisker learns this Rambam. Okay. This next parak now, we're going to be dealing with a topic. This next parak is going to be dealing with a topic that we've talked about, we've touched on many times in the Masechta so far, but this parak we're going to be talking about all the nitty-gritty of it, all the details. Namely, up until now, we've been talking about the idea. You have korbanos that are kosher, you have korbanos that are possible for one reason or another. Either they were possible to begin with, it's called ein tzolah b'kodesh, for example, an animal that's possible for a korban because it was balmum or reveya or nirba or what have you. You had a korban that became possible during the course of the avodah because of a machshava or because the blood spilled or because it became tamei or because somebody or because the person who did the avodah was possible for the avodah or whatever. But we've talked about a number of times in the Masechta that you do have, though, that you have a concept called, with certain kinds of stooling, in olam oyed, that if such a possible korban was placed on the Mizbeach, even though it shouldn't have been, you do not take it down from it. Because to that extent, the Mizbeach is Mekadosh. To that extent, it's considered lach moshom Mizbeach, the food of the Mizbeach, and therefore it already is as if it was in a free sharet and became Kaddish, and therefore you can't take it down. So we mentioned before that you have the pasuk that you have a pasuk zlois teres ha'erla, you have a pasuk hiya erla amos. We're going to mention in the Mishnah, and then you have a few different cases, but the basic concept is you have a korban that somehow or other is possible. we're going to get to, one of the topics we're going to be dealing with in our FedEx is the different kinds of schooling in that regard. But let's just talk about the general concept. The general concept is you have a curtain that became pulsed somehow or other. You're not supposed to be macrovid it, but with certain kinds of schooling, if you were macrovid it on the mizbeach, if you did take the bottom of it and put it on the mizbeach, you do not take them off the mizbeach. You leave them to burn. No. You knew that it was possible and you put it on there. So, Mishnah starts it. Hamizbeach, it shows the power of the mizbeach. Exactly. Hamizbeach mekadesh es haroylo. The mizbeach is mekadesh anything that is suitable for it, anything that is suitable to place them in the ground. We're going to see in the Gemara what es haroylo means. This is a general statement which now we're going to have Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Gamliel disagreeing within that statement. That's supposed to point out that you have the Mishnah is starting off with a general statement that everybody agrees to, and now Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Gamliel are going to disagree on details. Okay. So we have to figure out what etaroyloi for this purpose. Rabbi Yeshua, makolaroyla ishim im ololo yishrit, Rabbi Yeshua says it's as follows. What do we consider roy for the mizbeah is only something that was meant to be going into the fire. Put it on the mizbeach, you don't take it down. In other words, as opposed to, as the Mishnah is going to continue, for example, blood of a korban or nitzachim don't go into the fire in the first place. The blood is sprinkled or applied on the sides of the mizbeach. Nitzachim are poured into the shikin, into the holes on the top of the mizbeach or on the third, whatever. Those never go into the fire in the first place. Therefore, Rabbi Yeshua says the rule of a mizbeach mekadesh es haroylo does not apply to those. Shenema. That's Rabbi Yeshua says.
No, but the
as far as the dam and the nesachim. Shenema. As the prophet says, he ha oila al moshe, because he says where are we learning this concept from? We're learning it. The prophet says zos teras ha oila instead of a day in davening. Zos teras ha oila. He ha oila al moshe. Therefore, zos teras ha oila is where we learn the general concept. And since the pasuk continues, he ha oila, therefore that means, ma oila shi ra'oila ishim. So we, in other words, the Torah is telling us, it has to be something similar to an oila. Well, an oila is something that burns on the fire. And that's the Torah is telling us in also Lechayrin, that if an oila, even though it became pasuk, was placed on the mizbeach and you don't take it off the mizbeach. Therefore, it has to be something similar to that. A kosher royal ishim, only something which is meant to go in the fire. In ololo yerig, if you put it up on the mizbeach, you don't take it down. But not dam and not nesachim, because those never go in the fire in the first place. Those are not similar to the oila in that regard. Rav Gamliel, Rav Gamliel says no. Kol royal mizbeach, anything that's suitable to go on the mizbeach. Period. Whether in the fire or not. In also lekeirin, in ololo yerig, if it was put on the mizbeach, you don't take it off. He uses the same passage, but he says, "Mal oila shiru uila mizbeach." An oila is something suitable for the mizbeach. In other words, never mind the specifics about it going whether it's burnt or not. An oila is something that goes onto the mizbeach.
Anything that's
roi for the mizbeach. In also like here, I called over. Sure, roi the mizbeach. In also like here. Right now, at the beginning of the Mishnah, Rashi mentioned, which we're going to learn at the beginning of the Gemara, that for example, if you have now when it comes to a korban mincha. There's a procedure with a korban mincha as follows. You take the flour and the oil and the lavona and you put them in a clay jar. But you don't have, out of that, some part of it is going to end up going on the mizbeach, because you're going to take out a koimetz from it and offer it on the mizbeach, and the rest is going to be eaten by the koyanim.
You mix
the flour and the oil together. You put lavona on top, and then you should then...
You mix the lavona?
No, you don't. You just sprinkle lavona on the top. Then when it comes to doing the kmitza, the koyan moves the lavona to the side. We'll learn this in Menachos, says Hashem, but the koyan moves the lavona to the side. He takes kmitza out of the flour and oil mixture. There's different kinds of korbanos mincha. You have, there can be a raw one, which is flour mixed with oil and not baked. And then you have a few different types of baked menachos, baked or fried menachos. Matatanur, and then rikikim, and then marcheshes, and machvat. When we get to menachos, we'll talk about it. Okay. Anyway, the point is, though, the koyan does kmitza from it. Then he collects all the lavona, puts it together with the kohenus in the kli shoreis, and takes it over to the mizbeach to burn. Until the kmitza was done and was placed into the kli shoreis, it's not considered roi for the mizbeach. Because even though it was there to begin with. It was all part of the big Yinsa, and there was supposed to be some part of it that was supposed to go on the Mizbeach, but it wasn't Huvra. It wasn't chosen out yet. It wasn't selected out yet to go on the Mizbeach. Therefore, that's not how Gordon was. Everybody agrees to that. Everybody would agree that if you have a mincha that you didn't take the Knesset yet, and you then took that whole mincha and put it on top of the Mizbeach, period, you would take it off the Mizbeach. It's not considered lachmish on the Mizbeach yet. But here, because there's a claim that hadn't been taken out, separated out. But here we have, again, Rabbi Yeshua saying that also Dam and the Sukkim are not subject to the rule of the Olalo Yerid. If there's possible for any reason, you take them off the Mizbeach. And Rabbi Gamliel disagrees. So the Mishnah says, Ein Dein Dibir Rabbi Gamliel the Dibir Rabbi Yeshua, Ela Dam Ba and the Sukkim. Practically speaking, the only difference between Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua, as far as the definition, Roy La Ishim or Roy La Mizbeach, is regarding blood and regarding the Sukkim. Rabbi Gamliel says you don't take those off the Mizbeach because they are roy for the Mizbeach. And Rabbi Yeshua says they could be taken down because they're not roy for the Ishim. They're not put on the fire. Rabbi Shimon now comes and says, here's another detail. Basically, Rabbi Shimon agrees with Rabbi Yeshua's concept that Nisachim are not subject to the rule in Olal Yerid, but he makes a distinction between different types of Nisachim. He takes sort of like a middle ground between Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua. A Zevach Kosher or Nisachim Kulin, if you have a case where the Kurban was Kosher, but the Nisachim that go, most Kurbanas have Nisachim that are brought along with them, wine and oil that are put on the Mizbeach. So if you have the korban was kosher, but the nesachim became possible, let's say they were taken out of the azara, they became tamei, or had nesachim kshedim ba zevach possible, or if the nesachim were kosher, but the zevach itself became possible, let's say the korban itself became possible, or the blood was taken out or whatever, or aklu zevazet stolen, or even if both of them are possible, the zevach and the nesachim, in all those cases, has zevach lo yered ba nesachim yerdu. In all those cases, the zevach is considered lachmesh on mizbeach, therefore you leave it on the mizbeach, but the nesachim are not. The zevach means the korban itself. The korban itself, the meat and the fat and whatever of the korban, yes. The nesachim yerdu, but the nesachim are taken off in any of these three cases. So the only case where Rabbi Yeshua would say regarding the nesachim in all the lo yerdu, like having a meal, would be if both the zevach and the nesachim are kosher. But if either one became possible, then he says, like Rabbi Yeshua, that the nesachim can be taken off in the zevach. The Mishnah had said that the point is, in other words, that Rabbi Shimon says later, we're going to see in the Gemara, Rabbi Shimon holds that there's a difference between things that are brought on the Mizbeach for themselves versus things that are brought only to accompany something else, like Nesachim that some of the carbon, which are only meant to accompany the carbon. Okay. The Gemara says, Roy Loi Ein She'en Roy Loi Loi. We're saying the Mishnah had said that the Mizbeach is Mekadosh only what's roy for it, implying what's not roy for it is not Mekadosh. So the question is, what are we being amazed by that? What is the Mishnah saying, something that's not roy l'mizbeach, according to everybody? So the Rapapa says, the Mishnah is coming to exclude, like we just said, the case of the klimis of a mincha, that was where it was taken out of the mincha, but it was not yet placed into a klisharis to make it kodesh. Everybody would agree to that, that is not roy l'mizbeach yet, because it wasn't placed into a klisharis to make it kodesh. Therefore, it can't be, therefore, not only you don't put it on the mizbeach, but if you did put it on the mizbeach, then you olu lo yerd.
I mean,
he's holding it in his hand, right. Okay, Tosfos discusses a little bit, actually, that Rav Shimon, we had earlier in our Masechta, that Rav Shimon actually holds that the Kohenus does not have to be placed in a Kli Sharis. So either we're talking over here according to the Rabbanon, or we could be talking, Tosfos says, you could find, according to Rav Shimon, let's say, for example, the Levoina, if you were to, let's say, to collect the Levoina and put it on the Mizbeach before you even did the Kohenus, then that would be an example of Ein Roy Loi. Because even Rav Shimon agrees that before you take the Kohenus out of the Mincha, the Levoina has no business going on the Mizbeach. So that would be...
If you had
a complete Mincha, flour mixed with oil and with Levoina sprinkled on top, and then the Kohen were to take the Levoina only and put it on the Mizbeach, even Rav Shimon would agree that that's not considered Roy for the Mizbeach. But if you took out the Kohenus and didn't place in the plea charges, your Shimon would say that's your put in the back. That doesn't mean a plea charges in the first place. Okay. Maska for Ravina. So Ravina says, so you're telling me then that a koimis that was not put in a plea charges, that's one of the chacham in any way, is not considered Rory from the back. The question is, Ravina asks, Maishna midu'ula. Why should it be any different than the case that Ula talks about? The Amma Ula, that Ula says later in our Perek, a Mure Kodshin Talim Shehem Lusme Zrikas Zaman, Lo Yeru. Suppose you took the Inmurim, the fat and the kidneys and whatever of Kodshin Talim, and put them on the Mizbeach before the Zrikas Adam, where again, only once you do the Zrikas Adam are you supposed to then take the Inmurim and put them on the Mizbeach. In this case, he did it the other way around. He took the Inmurim and put them on the Mizbeach before the Zrikas Adam. Nevertheless, your Ula says, Lo Yeru, you don't take those Inmurim off, because Nasu Lach Mesh HaMizbeach, because they already become the food of the Mizbeach. In other words, again, they already are considered to have a shaykh to the Mizbeach, to the extent that in Olo Lo Yerdu, even though there was no Zrika yet. So why should it be any difference in this case over here, where you take the Kermis and put it on the Mizbeach before putting it on a Klisharis? Why shouldn't it be the same kind of thing? The answer is... The burning of the Knitza is considered the equivalent of the Zrika. But the point is that you should draw an analogy the same way as the Koimus eventually is going to go on the Mizbeach, but now before it was placed in the Free Charter is too early. The same way that Emurim are eventually going to go on the Mizbeach, but now before Zrika is down is too early. Nevertheless, the Emurim would say all the way, why should it be different with the Koimus? The answer is, Hanach Lenechtu Maisi Gufai. Fine, but the difference is that in Murim, there's nothing missing that has to be done with them themselves. The stool of them is because of a side factor, the fact that the dam had not yet been sprinkled on the Mizbeach. The in Murim themselves are going to be the same in Murim before and after the Zikr. As opposed to Hani, Mixer, Maisa, the Gufaya, as opposed to the Kmitza, there's something that is supposed to be done with the Kmitza itself. It itself is supposed to be placed in the Kishari. And without that, it's possible to go on the Mizbeach. Well, it doesn't have the full kedusha of a kmitza. The point is, it's not supposed to be put on the mizbeach yet. So that's the difference. In other words, the emurim is, yes, you put them on the mizbeach too early, but once you zerdik the dam, then they will become kosher, as opposed to over here, without it being placed in a kli shoreis, then it's not a kosher kmitza. Therefore, that's the difference. That's why with the kmitz, even you put them on the mizbeach, you would take it back down.
It's not
considered that eventually it will become mosher because there's something missing in it itself. It itself lacks its complete kedusha because it wasn't placed in the kli shoreis. Right.
What?
Yeah, it wasn't placed in the kli shoreis. Okay. No, that's not going to be shimmin. You can do that, but fine. First of all, when you have to think of, first of all, it's mixed with oil. Remember, it's mixed with oil. Most korbanos mincha are mixed with oil. You only have the minchas choyte, the minchas choyte that a person brings for certain averus, chumas nefesh kodesh or whatever before, and the minchas choyte are those of flour without oil. Mind you, by the way, the flour we're talking about over here is not like the kind of flour that you buy in the store, which is the powdery stuff that sticks to your hand. Actually, the Gemara says that we'll learn in a few months, that's the Shem, the flour in the Beit Mikdash, soilet, which means it's high quality flour, it had to be basket of type that doesn't stick to your hand. It was more like, you have to think of it as more like tiny little pieces of granola or something, maybe a little thinner than granola, but whatever. It's like actual little pieces or whatever that, yeah, you mix them with the oil. And semolina maybe, yeah, okay. So not plain flour like the kind we buy in the store, but more. Today's flour is... Okay, see, never mind the new rich. No, I'm not talking about that. Okay, think of it like this. In Pirkei Avos, right, in Perek Hei, you have over there the Aramidus, the Talmidim, you have the four types of Talmidim. One of them is Nafa, one of them is a Talmud who's like a sin. And what does the Mishnah say over there? Shemaitia as a kemach to let us the soil. A sin lets out the kemach and keeps the soil. And that represents a Talmud who he listens to what his Rebbe says. He's able to set aside the unimportant details, the things that are not relevant to the discussion. He's able to focus, on the soilus, on the actual topic, on the actual dinim, and then details that he learned. But now think about it. Kemach, therefore, is the kind of flour that we have nowadays, the powdery tiny little grain. That's the point. If you take a mixture of kemach and soilus and put it in a sieve, all of the tiny little grains, which is what we buy nowadays in the store as bread flour or whatever, will go out of the sieve. what will be left? The slightly larger pieces, the semolina-sized pieces or whatever. That's soda. Because our flour nowadays is all milled into kema. Nobody, that's the point. In other words, you can go to the store, you can buy semolina, but they sell it separately than kema. In those times, it would all be mixed together, and then you'd sift it out, and then the kema, the finer, the dusty stuff, would go out of the sieve, and the soda, the larger pieces, would stay in. Whereas nowadays, when they sell bread flour or whatever, they mill it all very finely. It's all kema.
Today, a lot is the flour. Semolina doesn't cost a lot.
Okay. All right, let's go on a little bit in the bottom. We said in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yeshua and the Kolaroy Le'ishim Fula. So we said in the Mishnah, we have the Machlokes Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Gamliel. Do we say that things that in Ola Lo Yered have to be like the Ola in that they go on the fire, or just that they're Roy Le'mizek? So Rabbi Yeshua is focusing on the fact that it says, Ola, Hiya Ola Al Moikja, which means on the burning fire. So the question is, does Rabbi Gamliel Nami have to be Ola Al Moikja? What is Rabbi Gamliel doing with that? The fact is, the prophet is mentioning that the oil goes on the fire, so that's like Rabbi Yeshua is saying, that's specifically things that go on the fire. The answer is, Hahula Adjuri Koykin, who's also. Rabbi Gamliel says that no, that those words, Al Moksha, are teaching us a different thing. It's not talking about Sulim. Sulim, we're learning from the word Al-Hiha Oila, that it means anything that's similar to the oil in that it goes on the back. Al Moksha teaches us a different thing. If you have a korban that was perfectly kosher, and you put it on the fire of the mizbeach, and at some point it bounced off or it jumped off the fire, sometimes you have a bonfire or whatever, you have little pieces of things sizzle and then jump out of the fire. So how would you know that you have to put those back? From this pasuk, al moisha, we learn that it's something that was already on the fire of the mizbeach and then bounced off, you put it back. So nothing to do with the fact of whether the korban to begin with was roi la'ishim or not. The idach, what is Rabbi Yeshua? So that's it. Then he says, Al-Moksha means to teach us a different din of poikin. The pieces that jump off. Exactly. Like it slows off. Okay. The idach, what would Rabbi Yeshua answer to that? Lajuri poikin minole. Where did he know that din from? Because everybody does agree with that din that you have to put back poikin, but where does Rabbi Yeshua know it from? The answer is Nachkavan Asher Choichalaish. He says, yes, but the pasuk continues Asher Choichalaish, which the fire consumes. So we learn from that anything that was started to be consumed by the fire and then bounced off, so you have to put back. I don't need the word Al-Moksha for that. Therefore, I can use the word Al-Moksha to teach us that the apostle korban has to be similar to the oil, that it has to be the royal issue. The idach, what would Rabbi Gamliel answer to that? He would say, Ahumi Boilin, Ikulik Oila, Athamaksil, the Athamaksil, Ikulik Tur. He says, Rabbi Gamliel, fine, but I learn a different word from, I learn a different detail of this din from the word Asher Chaychal. I learn from that, but when do we say that something that bounces off the Mizbeach, you put it back, that only refers to pieces of the Oila or other Korbanis that go on the Mizbeach Achisa. But not the Iathamaksil, Ikulik, means things that were consumed, things that were partially burnt from the Oila. The Iathamaksil, Ikulik Tur. However, that din does not apply to the ketores that's placed on the mizbeach apnim, on the golden mizbeach. If you have, in the same way, you could have you burning the ketores on the mizbeach apnim, you could also have in the same way that a piece of it gets hot and bounces off onto the floor. There, Rabbi Gamliel says, you learn from the words, asher choichal ha'esh, that it's talking specifically about the esh, about the fire on the outer mizbeach. So therefore, it only refers to that. It doesn't refer to ikulei ketores, pieces of ketores that went on the mizbeach apnim. You would just leave it on the floor, yeah. Ditoni Rav Chanina Baman Yumi Rav Eliezer Ben Yaakov. Rav Chanina Baman Yumi taught a braisa from the collection of braisas of Rav Eliezer Ben Yaakov. That yes, when the prophet says Asher Choichal Ha'esh Ata Oila Al HaMizbeach, we learn that. Ikulei Oila At HaMachzir. We learn from that you only put back onto the mizbeach pieces of the oila that jumped off. The Iyat HaMachzir Ikulei Ketores. You don't put back pieces of the Ketores from the Mizbeach HaPnimi that jumps off. But yes, says Rabbi Gamliel, therefore, that's what I'm learning from the word Asher Choichal Ha'esh. I'm not learning the general concept of poikin from there. I'm learning the general concept of poikin from Amosha. Therefore, I don't have Amosha to teach us that Sulim have to be royal edition. And therefore, yes. The Idach, so what would Rabbi Yeshua answer to that? he would say, okay, okay, but just from that mirror to self, you understand that it means that turdus you don't put back if it's fellow, but oila you do. Therefore, in other words, he says, I don't need an extra pasuk to teach us that concept. Once you have a mute that it doesn't apply to turdus, then automatically it means that but oila you do. But I don't need any, I don't need any extra pasuk for that. Whereas Gamliel would say, okay, but when it comes to kodshim still, you know, the whole lomid, you know, lomid business that we had earlier in the Masechta, you need as much as possible, you need psukim to tell us individual giving. You can't necessarily derive one from the other. Therefore, you do need an actual process to teach us that there's a difference between the Ola and the Shoya in that regard. Okay, so that's, okay. Yeah, okay, well, let's stop here and...